Our first reading is from Isaiah 32, verses 1 through 5 and 16 through 20. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. He will shelter Israel from the storm and the wind. He will refresh her as a river in the desert and as the cool shadow of a large rock in a hot and weary land. Then everyone who can see will be looking for God, and those who can hear will listen to his voice. Even the hotheads among them will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer in uncertainty will speak out plainly. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Wealthy cheaters will not be respected as outstanding citizens. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Quietness and confidence will fill the land forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. Even though the forest will be destroyed and the city torn down, God will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their flocks and herds will graze in green pastures. And from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. From Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. This is after the birth and the naming of John the Baptist. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies, so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness forever. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day and the gift of your holy word and the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we pray now, Lord, that by your word and by your spirit, you would come and do a mighty work in us, revealing to us who you are and what you have done for us in Jesus Christ and what that means for us in every day. And what that means for us now and for all eternity. Come, Holy Spirit. Make this word alive in each one of us. We wait on you, Lord. We wait expectantly for your gracious work in, among, around, and through us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So every week, we pray together the Lord's Prayer. And I know many of you pray that prayer every single day. And in that prayer, we say, Thy kingdom come. Right? Are we praying that? Or are those just words we're saying? Are we really asking God, imploring God for his kingdom to come and be revealed more fully? Is there an anticipation for us in that? You know, Martin Luther said that to pray the Lord's Prayer requires a believing heart. Otherwise, it's just recitation. And he says there's nothing wrong with recitation. You know, that can be a good exercise. But prayer requires this believing heart, that this prayer is reaching the ears of God and that he is listening and he is responding. And so I just asking you, are you praying, Thy kingdom come? And are you watching for it? Are you looking for it? Are you readying yourself for it? A few months ago, we got to visit with our grandkids. And one of their favorite games is hide and seek. You know, ready or not, here I come. Well, my granddaughter loves this game. And she loved to go and hide. She wasn't really all that good at it because the giggles started to give her away, because she knew that I would actually be coming when I said, ready or not, here I come. And she started to giggle in the anticipation of being found, of grandma coming. And I'm just wondering, are you living in this expectation that Jesus is coming and the fullness of his kingdom is going to be revealed? I mean, when we realize what this means, what his kingdom is all about, it's got to fill us with a joyful anticipation. So I want to remind you of what we heard in Isaiah 32. You can just hear the excitement of the prophet saying, look, a righteous king is coming. And the people under him are going to rule with justice. And they'll be honest. And he's going to bring this relief and this comfort, this shelter and this deliverance. And eyes will be opened and ears will be opened to recognize the truth. Even the hotheads among them will be full of sense and understanding. I mean, don't you just really want to pray this right now? Yeah, those who are ungodly, those who are dishonest, they're no longer going to be the ones respected and admired. Now it's going to be the godly ones. Now, that's the promise of this coming king with his coming kingdom. Isaiah did point out that for some people, the people for whom the world system was working, those who were benefiting from injustice or manipulation or violence, or those who were even just complacent in the midst of other people's needs, for them, this coming kingdom might not be as good for them. But he says that at last the Spirit, when at last the Spirit is poured down on us from heaven, things will really change. The wilderness will become a fertile field. Fertile field will become a lush and fertile forest. Justice will rule in what had been wilderness, and righteousness in the fertile places. And this righteousness will bring peace, and quietness and confidence will fill the land forever. Don't you long for that? Can't you just imagine what it is that God is wanting to do, even more so than what he has already begun? This is so hopeful for us. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. Now, I know that some of us have probably been living more quietly at home than we wish. We'd like to be out and about a little bit more. But even if the forest is destroyed and the city is torn down. Now, as I was reading that last night, I just kept thinking about the awful wildfires and how much forest land has been destroyed in our nation in this past year. And I thought about the riots that have destroyed so many people, so many cities. And then look at that. Even if that comes to pass, God will still greatly bless his people. And it will bring deliverance and restoration. Our God is so good. He so wants to bless this world and bless lives. And for us to rejoice in him and to live in confidence in him. So who is this king that's coming, that Isaiah prophesies about here? Well, he prophesied of, you know, earlier in Isaiah as well. There's a prophecy in Isaiah 7 that he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah 9, to us a child is born, a son is given, the government. He will have this rule and reign. He'll be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And wherever he reigns, his reign will increase in peace. Don't you long for that? So we know that this coming king, we know that the one prophesied is Jesus. There's no question about that for us. Perhaps the question, though, is how much we are allowing his rule and reign in our lives. To what extent are we living in and from the kingdom of peace and justice and righteousness that he has already established but is wanting to increase? Now, Martin Luther, in his explanation to the Lord's Prayer, in his small catechism, says, the kingdom of God comes indeed without our praying for it. But we ask in this prayer that it might come also to us, in us, through us, around us, that we would actually be living and experiencing it. So how does this kingdom come? Well, Luther says, God's kingdom comes when our Holy Father, when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit. And so that by his grace we believe his word and live a godly life now and for eternity. Some of you remember memorizing that, maybe a little bit different words, but so I'm just really aware that it's only the Holy Spirit who can create this faith in us to believe his word and his promises. So let's just stop for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit again. for that work in us. Lord, we long to know you. And we long to hear and believe what you have promised. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you, come and create faith in us by the word, that we might believe this word and it would grow up in us and we would live from the truth of your promises, Lord. Amen. Our reading from Luke. We heard the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah. We heard that a few weeks ago as we started the season of Advent. The angel Gabriel comes and he tells Zechariah that these prayers that he has been praying for the nation and perhaps even for he and his wife, that they're now going to be fulfilled. And I want you to remember that there has not been a prophet in Israel for 400 years. And the last prophetic word has been in Malachi that the Lord will come with his kingdom, but he's going to send a messenger before him who will prepare the way. And God sends Gabriel with this message. You're going to have a son, Zechariah. And he is going to prepare the way for this Messiah to come and establish his kingdom. Now, Zechariah has trouble believing that. And he actually, from his unbelief, is struck mute. And for 9+ months, this man can't speak. Now, Gabriel has told him that when his son is born, they are to name him John. We don't quite get this, but there were naming conventions, ways that things were done. John was not a name that was in Zechariah's family line. And so already, so much that the angel Gabriel said to him didn't quite fit with the natural wisdom or ways that Zechariah knew of. But he'd gotten the clear word that he is to name this son John. God is gracious, or gracious gift of God. And so when John is 8 days old and they take him to the temple for his circumcision and for the official naming, Zechariah actually writes on a piece of paper, yes, his name will be John. And all of a sudden, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, who comes and breaks off the muteness and fills his mouth with praise and prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. And now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. I want you to notice something. In this praise and in this prophetic song that Zechariah begins to speak out, these verbs that we've just heard, they're in past tense. Did you hear that? He has visited us. Now that word visited, it means he has come with the purpose of comforting and helping. So this isn't God has stopped in for some casual conversation. That God has come out of his gracious love to comfort and to help. And he has redeemed redeemed us. And this word redeemed is, it means he's bought us out of slavery. Now that was true for Israel when they had been released from slavery back in Egypt. But of course they have continued in a kind of slavery. A slavery to sin, for sure. And he has sent a mighty Savior. Here's what I want you to notice. Zechariah is just rejoicing in all of this. And yet, Jesus hasn't even been born yet. Jesus is still hidden in Mary's womb. Jesus hasn't been crucified. He hasn't been raised from the dead. He hasn't yet ascended. And yet, Zechariah is already rejoicing that what God has promised is as good as done, because from an earthly perspective, it might not have happened yet, but because of who God is, God so faithful, God, the one who made these promises, is fulfilling them. If he's made them, he's going to fulfill them. It's time to rejoice already. You see, Zechariah is now able, as filled with the Holy Spirit, to be living from the perspective of heaven, not from mere human perspective of what things look like in the natural realm. We are invited to live with that same perspective, with such confidence in who our God is, that even when things naturally don't look so hopeful, we still get to rejoice. Because the God of hope wants to fill us with all joy and peace in believing as we trust in him, so that we overflow with this joy and this peace because of who God is. God, who knows us, loves us, claims us, is already with us and has made these promises that he will be faithful, because he can't be anything but faithful. It's who he is, and he will be faithful to us. That's who this righteous King is, the Prince of Peace. He's the one worthy of our praise, worthy of our trust. I want to remind you of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and renews your strength. The Lord, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love, he doesn't constantly accuse, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He's like a father who has compassion on his children. He remembers how we were made. This is who our God is. And as we remember that, we can't help but be lifted up in courage and in strength. And so that's what Paul is reminding us about in our reading from Philippians chapter 4. Go ahead. Be full of joy. Go ahead. Rejoice. I'm going to say it again, he says. Rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And then you'll experience this peace that passes understanding. You understand what peace that's tied to understanding is. That's, if it looks good, then I can feel peaceful. If it looks good, I can feel hopeful. No, that's just a mere human perspective. We get to live from a heavenly perspective in a God who is faithful, who hears our cries, who knows our needs. A God who has promised to be with us and to bring us through. So Paul goes on, and he says, whatever is pure and lovely and admirable and worthy of praise, think on these things. Which for us might mean that we turn off the news and turn our attention to something eternal and truly good. It might mean to quit riling yourself up with social media, or even riling yourself up in conversations with people who just like to stir and rile and complain. Bill Johnson, pastor out in California, says, if you spend more time with the news than with the Word of God, your discouragement is your own fault. And I think a whole lot of us fill our minds with things that aren't so pure and lovely and admirable. We tend to turn our focus to what is not right and what is not good and what so annoys us. Now, it's not about ignoring the fact that those things exist. It's seeing them in perspective to who our God is and who we are to be in this world as people filled with his life, carrying his presence. Oh, situations can change when we live in them empowered by the faith of our living God. So some of our thoughts are just filled with the pain of this world, things outside of our control, but things that have an effect on us. Sometimes our thoughts are filled with the regrets of the past, our own regrets, maybe what others, the impacts others have had in our lives. Maybe our thoughts are filled with shame or with guilt. And if that's what it is, if that's what we have going in our thoughts, then the thing to do is go back to the God who loves us and ask him to cleanse those thoughts. We confess to him, and we release to him. And we sit with him until we experience that exchange. The righteousness of Christ given to us and our sin put on Jesus. And if we're still having trouble believing the promise that we are forgiven, that the past is dealt with, well, then we find somebody filled with the Spirit, to whom we can confess as if directly to Christ, who will then speak the words to us as from Christ. We're forgiven. Our past is dealt with. We can live in peace. But what if the things that are filling our mind are just the very real and overwhelming situations that are affecting our daily lives? Well, then again, our answer is to go back to the one who reigns over all, the one who does have the power in every situation. And we tell him, gut level, honest, what we need. And we tell him from a perspective of remembering how good he is, how faithful he has been. And we don't just complain to him about how things are. We sit with him until we realize we have released this burden and received his peace. Stay in that time of prayer until that exchange has happened. Now let me tell you, you might need to come back to that 2 minutes later, or an hour later, or a day later. But that's okay. We are learning to trust. We are learning to believe. We are learning to receive from a God who is patient with us and a God who is so faithful to us. And you might feel like you don't have time for that sitting with God. Let me tell you, you don't have time not to sit with God and receive that exchange. Because it changes everything. Even if the situation and the circumstances don't seem immediately changed, you will be changed in those circumstances for having been with God. I remind you, God is always with you. The only question is, are you with God? Are you recognizing his presence with you? Because if you are, he is the Prince of Peace, reigning. And he's inviting you to live in his kingdom of peace, with his peace. Go back to what Zechariah, what he prophesied, what he proclaimed. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace. His peace can rule in your hearts. And as his peace rules in you, it will flow through you. It'll change the atmosphere around you. And as we live obedient and trusting in this peace, this Prince of Peace, the world will see his kingdom extended, expanded, revealed. Let's pray. Come, Prince of Peace. Come, Lord Jesus, in the fullness of your kingdom. May your kingdom come in us and shape how we live. Reveal your reign through us until you see, Lord, until you receive all the honor and praise that you are due, until the world knows who you are. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.